Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc, Zorba Pastor.
That's me.
That's him.
I'm here.
He's right there.
In the flesh.
Real doctor.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Not virtual reality.
No.
Reality, reality.
That's right. Is that a double reality? Yeah, reality, reality?
You
know, what does that mean?
And you gotta tell people, you're not AI. I am not AI.
That is important.
I am not a bot.
You are a real doc. Just so everyone knows, we really drove that home. We're going to talk healthy living. We're going to walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls, emails, and a few of your voicemails. This is a joyful take on living well. If you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Well, cannabis use. Now, there's an article that talks about cannabis use increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes. So it's an important article to look at it because cannabis use is booming in the country because it's legal in so many states. So let's look at that data, see what it is. And then also, over half the doctors surveyed considered assisted suicide dying for themselves if they had advanced cancer or Alzheimer's disease. So let's talk about death with dignity and kind of where that fits in.
Okay, and what's our special recipe?
Pinto bean chili.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a great bean recipe. I mean, beans are underlooked as a great food, inexpensive, high protein, satisfies really the diet and appetite, and so much better than the Slurpee that you get at your local convenience store, 94 ounces of nothing but sugar.
That sounds good. I like that beans are an alternative to a Slurpee.
That's right.
It's
beans.
Just one side
beans,
of it. Yeah.
You got Slurpee on one side, you got beans on the other side. Which you're going to choose? Well, we know. Anyway,
it sounds great.
It's a great recipe.
It sounds good.
It
All
is.
Right. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to our first caller now from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about a Bennett's fracture of my right thumb.
Uh-huh. So when'd you get it?
It occurred on August 27th of last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, when we name fractures, they're named after somebody who initially described the fracture like 100 years in the past. You know, so this is just a specific fracture. It's a fractured thumb. That's really what it is. What sort of problems do you have with it?
Well, when I was actually in Iceland when this happened. And
doing what? What were you doing?
You're laughing. You weren't hitchhiking, were you?
You're laughing, right?
I'm an adventure girl.
An adventure girl. Okay, come on. I want some our listeners want some detail.
Yeah.
Come on, adventure girl.
Okay. All right. So I was in Iceland, and I slid on gravel on a steep incline, landing face down.
Landing face down. Oh, my gosh.
And then, you know, the pressure of my thumb sliding on the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So my background is an ICU nurse. So I kept it iced and elevated.
Good.
It was swollen.
Good.
And then we finally came to a small town that had an X-ray and a hospital. So on August 30th, the swelling had gone down, they did an X-ray, and they diagnosed a Bennett's fracture that was not displaced. They casted it.
Yeah.
Then I went on to an expedition trip to go to Greenland.
Of course, of course. Why would you stop? But I wouldn't stop either if they, you know, they did it. You're there, and you got a cast, so you're going to want to continue.
And it didn't hurt.
And it didn't hurt. Why would you come home, you know, come at home and, you know, listen to public radio? You'd rather be on an adventure trip. Not that there's anything wrong with public radio, but it's better to be on an adventure trip in Greenland. So go ahead. So did you injure yourself in Greenland then, you know, on your helicopter ride or
Iceland?
No, I just want to know if you did. I just wanted to know if you had another injury in Greenland because you're an adventure girl. So
no,
go on.
I had one on a remote rock out in off of Venezuela.
Venezuela, got it.
Yeah. In weird position.
Yeah. Carl's having a good time with this. He's just laughing.
It's a good story.
Go ahead. It is a good story. So how can I help you? Let's go back to that.
Well, located, I returned to Madison on September 9th. On the 13th, I saw an orthopedic surgeon, and she said, you made the right call to just go. She said, okay, when she saw it, they x-rayed it, and she said, if you were younger, we would do surgery immediately. Mm-hmm. But she said, we can also leave it heal because it's not displaced. They said I would have full range of motion, and then there wouldn't be the risk of surgery.
Sure.
So I did rehab and did extremely well through November, full range of motion, x-ray showed healed. And then, I'm having, it's aching sometimes. And they said, well, it could be arthritis, but it doesn't feel like arthritis. It's the area. And I figured it takes, up to a year to heal. So once in a while, I'd have a sharp pain when I was doing things. And recently, I was taking 3 dinner plates out of the dishwasher and rotating my hand to reach up and put them on the shelf. And I got this really sharp pain, and it felt like something was out of place. And so I made another appointment. And I saw the PA, and they said the x-ray showed it was healed. But the thing is why is it clicking?
There are a few things here. So first of all, you've got the bone, and then you have the ligaments around the bone, ligaments and tendons. X-rays only show the bone. I mean, that's right. What they're showing. So the x-ray shows the bone is healed. It doesn't show microscopically what went on with your bone, and it doesn't show the ligaments and everything else. It's not unusual for joints to click, it's common. So clicking without pain is one thing. It's a common issue. So, it may click for the rest of your life. Why is it clicking? It's the way you heal. That's the answer. There's nothing beyond that. The issue is, how painful is it? And if it becomes painful after any kind of a fracture, they don't want to go in if the bone looks like it's healed. Nobody is going to go in. No one is going to go in and do anything with the bone because it's healed. But it may be the ligaments around there. And the real issue is, do you need rehab again? So was it very painful? Or was it just the clicking that bothered you? Or was it the strength?
Well, I was curious, is the clicking something wearing?
It's ligaments and tendons, and it's the way they go over the bone. And sometimes clicking is actually a gas that is coming out of the joint that makes a sound. You know, when you crack your knuckles, you're not actually doing any damage to your knuckles, even though your mother said, stop doing that. You'll get your knuckles, you'll look like a gorilla. Carl's clicking it. Go. Oh, my God.
I just did it.
Those are his clicking. I hate clicking. I don't mind the sound, but sorry. I would never do it. That was clicking. And that's a gas coming out of the joint. So the clicking may just be a gas coming out of the joint. Nothing bad. If it's not painful, that's you. And it may continue for the rest of your life. It probably will. When you're 89 years old, you'll talk to your grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You'll say, your grandmother's thumb clicks. That's what you'll say.
Well, then the PA said that she would have a discussion with a surgeon about doing an MRI.
Yeah, well, you can get an MRI, but the answer is if it's not painful, you don't want to have anything done. Is it painful? Yes or no?
Most of the time, not.
Most of the time, not. So the only reason to have an MRI would be if you were going to consider surgery. That's the reason to do it. If you're going to consider, look, I think I want to have surgery in this because it bothers me, get the MRI. If it's not a decision point, there's no reason to get it. Because if you're not going to do anything about it, it's going to show something abnormal because you had a fracture and ligaments were probably displaced. So I would not do the MRI unless you're going to say, look, it bothers me, I might consider surgery. That's
so do I have to worry about it since I did have this one sharp pain where it seemed like it displaced?
I wouldn't worry about it. If you came into my office, I would say, let it ride, see what happens. The bone is there. The x-ray was important. That was the important thing to do. The x-ray gave you the answer. The bone is stable. I don't know if you're stable because you're an adventure girl, but the x-ray is stable. Okay.
Well, I want to make sure it's okay because I'm going to Madagascar.
Holy Absolutely.
Cow. Sounds great.
Go to Madagascar and bring back some vanilla because they grow a lot of the vanilla in the world.
Hmm.
They're big on vanilla. You didn't know that, Carl, did you?
I'll have to get some and send it to you.
Thank you. I'll take it. Have a great day. Thanks for your call.
You too. Thank you for taking my call. Bye.
Pleasure. Bye.
Zorba, I give your medical advice a huge thumbs up.
Okay, I'll take
it. That was great advice.
Yeah, and she's an adventure girl.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like adventure.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do our first healthy living topic. And this is data from a combined study. It says cannabis use dramatically increases risk of dying from heart attacks and stroke.
Well, it's an interesting study. So it's an epidemiological study. Not unusual to have studies of studies, and there are strengths and there are a lot of weaknesses in there. But let's look at the data. So the study pooled medical data involving like 200 million people, but it's really sort of epidemiological data, people from the age of roughly 20 to 60. That's roughly where it was. And they looked at heart attack and stroke in people who used THC, gummies, smoking, vaping, all different ways. Most of it was smoking, to see whether or not there was an increase in heart attack and stroke. And lo and behold, they found that, it's hard to say, but they found 29% increase in heart attacks and 20% increase in stroke. If the data is real, it's really very serious. Now, when they look at this data, they looked at anybody who is looking at cannabis. I mean, they're pooling this data. So like I said, it was all different kinds. But the vast majority, they're talking about smoking and the data of smoking. And when we look at THC concentrations and how it affects the vasculature, kind of how our arteries are, it's very different than it was back in my day, in the 70s. So how much stronger do you think THC is now than it was back in the 70s? Just take a guess. Twice as strong, three times as strong?
I'd say more than that, maybe four, five.
10.
Oh, wow.
10 times. 10 times
as strong.
That's
significant.
Significant? Really significant. It's a big difference. And you can get 99% pure THC and vape that. And many of the vapes are over 80% THC. Mm. And THC is a potent vasoconcentrator where all of a sudden you take in the vape and the arteries all of a sudden constrict. And if they constrict in your heart and you have a predisposition to heart disease, that may cause a problem. It can be one hit of a serious THC vape. But the other issue is because it's legal in many states and easy to get a hold of now, it's totally different, obviously, and manufactured, and the higher the potency, the more people are likely to be addicted. And 3 out of 10 people who use any form of THC from edibles to that have cannabis use disorder today, where they do it all the time. And it's quite interesting because I was in California, I happen to be in Berkeley, and I'm looking there, and they're just people who look like they're sort of vaping, and I thought, I wonder if they're just vaping, you know, nicotine. And the fact is, people are worried about smoking in Berkeley, but they're not worried about vaping. Hmm. So they vape all the time. I mean, so it's not as if you're having a little hit of a 1970s or 60s, in my case, joint, but you're smoking all the time. So I think it's important, the bottom line is, it's not innocuous. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you get stoned every day, there are a lot of issues that are involved with that. There's some people that become addicted. It's just like having a drink. Mm-hmm. You've got to think of this.
Moderation, right?
It's moderation.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a wake-up call to that. We need better research. We can't do it that well because the feds put it in the same category as heroin, so they don't allow us to really study it that well. But I think it's kind of sobering.
Interesting stuff. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can call anytime. You can leave a voicemail for us. Let's go to one of those now. This is a listener from Wisconsin.
I have a question about spray sunscreen. I was at the pool last summer, and the spray sunscreen, it was a very humid day, and the spray was just hovering over the pool, which made it really hard to breathe. And when people are spraying it at the pool, it just blows away. So I'm having a hard time with spray sunscreen, and I am wondering how bad is it for our lungs? Can't wait to hear your answer.
That's really a good question. So first of all, the feds, you know, when you get sunscreen, you want something with an SPF of 15 or above. The higher the number works really better, but it's really 15 is really the number. Once you get to 15, you're really okay. You have to reapply it during the day. Mm-hmm. The feds Really, they don't rate sunscreen the same, spray sunscreen, the same way they do as sunscreen that you put on with creams or lotions.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They don't do it. They don't do it as well. And they don't really recommend it because they don't know how much actually gets on the skin because it goes in the air.
Right. So much of it just flies away.
Yeah. So if somebody is spraying sunscreen next to you, you don't want them to do that. So people ought to spray sunscreen somewhere else. How does it damage the lungs? I don't know. I've never seen any study about that, so I have no idea. But I mean, it's like if you sprayed hairnet, you know, it's got a lacquer. It's Aquanet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a propellant in it, so I don't know. And it's not, I mean, once, so if people are spraying on the beach and you're next to them, you know, you've got to move away from them or you have to ask them, please don't spray it next to me. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, that becomes, you know, how do you tell people not to do something? You have to do it gracefully and say, I don't want to smell your sunscreen. Could you spray it off and go out to the side? That's what I would do. I don't know if it's dangerous or not, but it certainly is. Now, I use spray sunscreen because I like it.
A lot of people use it. I find it
much better. I like it better than a cream, so I tend to use it. But I'm one of those good people. I go off to the side and spray it off to the side.
Yeah.
But it's like DEET.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody sprays DEET next to you, what are you going to say to them? Please don't spray your...
Yeah.
Don't put your DEET next to my
secondhand
lungs.
Secondhand DEET, right?
It's secondhand DEET.
Secondhand sunspray.
Secondhand sunspray. Secondhand DEET. We've got it. Yeah, we'll find the data.
We'll do a study on that.
Anyway, the answer is stay away from it.
800-462-7413.
Secondhand DEET.
You like
right?
that one?
Yeah, I liked it.
800-462.
Sounds like a song.
It does. Secondhand sunspray. Yeah. I'll work on that. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Okay, before we take a break, Zorba, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor
scroll.
On your health. Yeah, scroll.
Scroll.
You know, with your mouse
scroll.
Finger or just scroll through it. Mm-hmm. The Facebook page for another edition of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
All right, Zorba, you recently took a trip to Europe, and you posted a ton of photos over the Facebook page.
I did.
Lots of photos.
People like the photos.
Oh, they love them.
They especially like the photos of food.
Food
photos. Food photos.
You read my mind. That's what this is about. I'm about to get into
photos.
It here.
Yeah. I love doing food photos.
You do, yeah. And one of these food photos is you enjoying a cup of French onion soup.
Oh,
do you remember that? You remember that one?
The best.
Yeah,
right.
You wrote, quote, I had the best French onion soup yesterday, just the right amount of Gruyere cheese on top. With the best, sweetest caramelized onions ever.
That's
where was
right.
this from? Where were you?
Where was it from?
Yeah.
I was near the Pantheon, right in Paris. Pantheon is where there's it's a wonderful, it's one of those big structures in Paris that you go to, and it's got a pendulum clock in it, and it's great. And I just stopped at a restaurant, and it was the best French, and I make French onion soup. It's the best I had. And once I tasted it, I realized how to make it better myself, because I love making food. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, it probably got a lot of comments. So
it did.
We're going to share a few here.
Please, go
All
on.
Right. First, Vivian asked a very fair question. Mm-hmm. Do they call it French onion soup in France?
No, they call it American onion soup.
Or is it just onion soup?
They just call it onion soup. But I don't really know. I don't know what they do because I don't read French.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Good question.
Because I look
Vivian.
At the menu and it's actually called soup of onions. I'm thinking about
soup
it right
now. Soup of onions.
Because I put on Google Translate. It's called the soup of onions.
Soup of many onions.
Yeah, soup of it.
I like that.
Might have had the word many, but it's soup
Maybe.
Of onions, yes.
Okay. Kim asked, could you share the name of the restaurant? We're heading to Paris in a few months.
Oh, not at all.
Putting
you on
the spot
idea.
Here. That
but
would
I'll,
be tough.
But I'll tell you, if you're coming back from the Pantheon and you're walking down the street, it's at the beginning of the second block. And it's a restaurant and you sit outside. Because I know where it is. I've got a good memory for that. And it's got a French name on the top of it.
Okay, let me get this straight.
French.
So it's an outside restaurant in Paris.
Well,
it's got a French name.
It's got inside and outside.
Okay,
I sat outside. Yeah.
Gotcha.
All the restaurants are outside because then you can smoke cigarettes outside. That's what people do.
You can secondhand sunscreen, too, if you want.
That's right.
Lori from Princeton, Wisconsin wrote, Dr. Zorba, you have great taste in food. I think a lot of people wrote stuff like that on there.
I love food. All different kinds of food.
And finally, James exclaimed, hot diggity Zorby. Zorby. So, okay, Zorby. I just want to talk about that for a second. Seeing you referred to as Zorby, it reminded me of one of my favorite moments on the show when Tom Clark, when he was co-hosting, Remember way back then when that was happening?
I remember Tom Clark.
Remember him? Yeah, great host. There was this little exchange you guys had, this sweet little exchange before the show, and we were actually recording, and we just had the mics hot, and this is, we're going to hear a little bit of this little thing.
Okay.
I added some music to it as well.
I got it.
Brad, let's hear that.
I'm ready for this. I have not.
You don't know
folks,
what's coming.
I don't know what's coming.
This is going
to
be good.
And I love surprises, so lay it on me.
All right, Brad.
Does anyone call you Thomas?
No.
I think I'm going to call you Thomas from now on.
Okay, better than Tommy.
You don't like Tommy? No. Thomas. You can call me Zarby. That would be okay.
You can call him Zarby.
Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny. I do remember it now. You mention it, it triggers a memory. I like the outro too. The music
sure.
outro
great
is great.
Great song. All right, you can always keep up with Zorby's busy and fruitful life on the Facebook page, and of course, you have the healthy living
I'm
question.
I'm turning red. I'm embarrassed. That's it.
Does anyone else call you Zarby, or is that?
Does anybody call me Zorby? Yes, people have called me Zorby.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yes,
it's a good one.
Else, yeah.
Can I call you Zorby?
Yes, yeah.
Is that
no,
okay?
No,
okay, not
no,
me.
No,
okay, that's
no,
fine.
No.
All right.
We keep a certain distance, you know.
Yeah, that's good to have
it's
that.
A distance,
yeah, we need
you know?
That separation.
Yeah, we have to have a drink to do that.
Okay,
we
gotcha.
Not have a drink together or more than one.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe
or
some French
toke.
Onion soup.
We don't
soup.
Even talk about that.
Okay.
Toke. Hey, it's legal in some states. Not in Wisconsin. We don't toke in Wisconsin. Nobody does.
Nope. So, yeah, post it here or send us an email at
Zorby@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails and voicemails, and we're going to cook up a tasty pinto bean chili. All of that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
On Your Health by PRX at WPR.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, right? Is that what
right.
you're listening to?
Yeah,
yeah
right.
we're all
Not
listening,
wrong.
Right? Yeah,
right. There's
listening.
Right and wrong.
There's
this
right and
right.
wrong. That was right, yeah.
That's
and
right.
If you have a question for the good doc, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And I'm looking across my desk at Dr. Zorba right now. He
across,
is wearing
right.
his famous turtle hat.
Right.
It's got the turtle,
the turtle
on it.
That's
love
right.
that one.
That's
he's got a Hawaiian
right.
shirt
Hawaiian
with some
shirt.
Palm trees
gonna,
on
yeah,
it.
That's right.
And kind of
yeah.
a teal. That's not teal. What color is that
teal.
Undershirt?
I'm fashion and
blue.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know what it kind of blue.
Caribbean blue. It looks
Caribbean
great.
Caribbean blue. Yeah,
looks
I'm
beautiful.
Ready to. I'm ready to sail.
Yeah, you're ready to sail.
In
I'm
Wisconsin.
Ready for a, I'm ready for a recipe.
Actually, we could sail Lake Mendota.
That's true.
Let's do the recipe.
I like that you're cutting me off.
That's right. Pinto bean chili.
Yeah, you wanted a chili or a pinto bean recipe,
well,
so
I wanted,
here it is.
You know, beans are maligned. Go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do they have beans? On the bottom shelf in the middle of the store.
You got to bend over to get the beans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to bend over to get the beans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the bottom shelf because people don't eat it because they're associated with what? When you think of
bending
beans,
over?
No, it's something with bending over. That's, you know,
sorry,
something
I didn't say
that high school brain of yours.
Oh, it's just
they're associated
never grow
with
up.
Poverty.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with
no,
like,
they're associated
flatulence.
With poverty.
I thought you were saying flatulence.
Well, they're associated with flatulence,
okay.
But beans are associated with poverty.
Okay.
They really are.
Yeah.
And beans are part of a whole group of things called pulses. And there are actually 2,000 different kinds of pulses, which are beans. And the beans are, and pulses are things that thicken broth and thicken soup.
Hmm.
And beans, of course, thicken soup. And beans are a high source of protein.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheap, they're inexpensive, and they're in traditional recipes, you know, rice and beans, very traditional. Rice and beans, why? Because they're proteins that complement each other. And you should use them and eat them.
Hmm.
And they're very good for anyone who wants to lose weight because they're filling. And actually, once you have beans every day, you don't have as much flatulence. You really don't.
Your body adjusts or something?
Just adjusts.
Okay.
You don't have as much gas. It really doesn't happen. I mean, we, you know, we joke about beans and gas and blah, 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 but you don't have as much.
Okay.
But this is a great recipe.
Yeah.
So start out with 2 double T, big T, extra virgin olive oil.
2 big T, extra virgin olive oil.
Small onion chopped, any kind of onion you have.
All right, small onion chopped.
Couple garlic cloves minced.
2 garlic cloves minced.
A bell pepper diced.
A bell pepper diced.
If you can, a 14-ounce can of nice diced fire-roasted tomatoes. So these fire-roasted tomatoes that you get in a can, they're good because the tomatoes are picked at the height of their juiciness. Mm. And they're, you know, you can do it, you can't make them as good as in the can. So okay. 14-ounce can.
All right, 14-ounce can of fire-roasted tomatoes.
1.5 cups of pinto beans, rinsed and drained. 1.5 cups of kidney beans, rinsed and drained.
Okay.
A cup of water or broth, veggie broth would be good.
Cup of water or broth.
Now, to make them really tasty, 3 chipotle peppers from a can of chipotle peppers in adobo sauce, diced.
That's a mouthful. 3 chipotle, I'll say it again, 3 chipotle peppers from a can of chipotles in adobo sauce, diced.
Like, sounds like a tongue twister.
It is, yeah.
How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick?
That's a tough one.
If we did it quickly, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. 3 tablespoonfuls of the adobo sauce.
Okay, 3 big T adobo sauce.
Cup of corn, kernels, fresh or frozen.
Sounds good.
Teaspoon of sea salt, some black pepper, and a tablespoon of fresh lime juice plus the wedges for serving.
Got to be fresh, not reconstituted.
Not
That's
at
your
all.
Line. I'm
Doesn't
saying your lines
same.
Now,
That's
right?
That's right. You did it.
All right, let's make it.
The directions.
It.
Heat the oil in a large pot, medium heat. Add the onion, put a little salt, a little pepper. Cook it until it's translucent, about 5 minutes. Add the garlic and red pepper that you have in there for a minute. Stir it until it's soft. Heat down. That's about 5 to 8 minutes. Then add the tomatoes, pinto beans, kidney beans, water, chipotle, everything else that I told you. Cover it. Reduce the heat. Simmer for 25 minutes. And then when I take it off, that's when you stir in the lime juice. Season it to taste. And serve it with whatever toppings you want to. Some sour cream, some avocado, and of course some jalapenos. And you've got a great recipe, pinto bean chili. And if you want a copy, don't send us a self-addressed stamped envelope because we do not do that anymore.
No, Gigi, we don't.
Gigi was the person. That was her name. She was
right.
the one who sent
it out.
Remember
you talking about Gigi.
Gigi, she was a wonderful person. One of the great volunteers at Wisconsin Public Radio. But go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. And you can see this recipe and a bunch of other recipes. And that's great.
That's it.
And of course, Facebook.
Of course, Facebook.
Always.
All right. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Okay, let's try to help out a caller now in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hi. What a delightful surprise.
Oh.
I'm so honored being on your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, my question is, I have a 3-year-old grandson who we have such a hard time. He doesn't like to eat. You know, he was initially diagnosed with autism, but then further tests ensued, and the final diagnosis is a speech and language disability.
Oh.
And requiring therapy, and I thought maybe it was being on the spectrum was causing this issue with him eating. And I will put a plate of food. Once he sees a high chair in the plate, he freaks out. And, I mean, I'll try to give him a vegetable, a fruit, a carb, a protein. And he just, And I did get him some gummies, vitamins, which he thinks is candy, and he'll take those.
Uh-huh. So we'll take that. But, so let me ask you. So he's 3 years old. How much does he weigh?
Oh, gosh, maybe... Oh, man, 25 pounds, maybe?
25 pounds. Okay. So let me tell you something really interesting in terms of kids and eating. So first of all, kids eat a tremendous amount when they're first born. I mean, they double their weight. You know, they double their weight before you know it. I mean, they're hogs. They eat and eat and eat. Imagine doubling your weight in 6 months. First of all, it would be really hard to do. I mean, it would be hard actually to double your weight in 6 months. You just have to eat continuously. And they eat a lot for the first 2 years of their life. And then from the age of 2, often until the age almost close to puberty, they eat very little by comparison. Uh-huh. So it's very common for parents to come in and say, my 3-year-old is not eating very much. And then we look at the weight on the weight scale. You know, they come in for a well-child check. And they're right in the scale. Maybe they were in the 25th percentile or the 50th percentile, and they're still there. So they go, well, they haven't lost any weight, but they're not eating. Well, if they haven't lost any weight and they're not eating, it means they must be eating enough. So part of this is the fact that they're not eating as much. They don't need as much to eat. That's number one.
Okay.
But part of it also may be behavior, and you want to change that behavior in some way. So a good way to get kids to eat is to get them to help make the food. So in other words, what you want to do is you want it to have go on an adventure with him. Go to a grocery store. And you pick something out with him. Can be something even pre-made. I don't care if it's cereal or anything else, but something you make and then you come home. Better to make do something you make, and maybe you put a hot cereal like oatmeal and you put some water in there, and then you cook it, and then you take it off the stove, and then he pours the milk. And if he's part of the process of making the food, he's much more likely to eat the food. It's a whole thing. You know, you pick it out. It's like broccoli. If they pick it out and they're little trees and they play with it and they make it, they're more likely to eat it. So part of this is behavioral, and part of it is he's a three-year-old. So how often do you see him? How often do you see your three-year-old?
Oh, gosh, I take care of him usually Monday through Friday. Yes, sir. And he loves his milk.
He loves his milk. Well, you also have to reduce the amount of milk. Because if you don't reduce the amount of milk, they'll take milk and they'll stop eating other stuff. So you've got to limit the amount of milk. You have to, and that is the other thing you have to do. That was the other thing I was going to say, because you've got to just say you get little bits of milk. And if he gets milk, you get a little teeny glass, really teeny, like a teeny voice. You get a teeny glass and you fill the glass with a little bit. And then he'll eventually develop he'll develop an appetite for other things.
He used to love broccoli. Mm-hmm. And now, I struggle with him. At one point, I'll send him crying, tell him, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, less milk, and then have him go to the farmer's market or the grocery store to pick out the broccoli. And then he helps you put the broccoli, play with the broccoli. Yeah. Like, what did one broccoli say to the other? I bet your cauliflower. I don't know. You can come up with a joke.
Oh, I have broccoli jokes.
You got a whole, Carl has a whole list of broccoli jokes.
Yeah, we'll share them another time.
He's been telling them at vegan conventions. He's been standing up.
Aww. No, I pump the water at least, and
that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
I try everything, and I just kind of sometimes just throw.
Now you've got some tips. Less milk, help prepare things, and then find stuff and start oatmeal or something of that nature, because kids like soft things. And, of course, even potatoes. You bring it home, and then you do it together, chop it up, and then maybe American, little fries, but you fry it, and he'll eat that. So anything that he'll do, let him be part of it. Noodles, but he goes shopping with you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I try everything, and I don't know. It's frustrating.
Of course.
I'll have to cut back the milk for sure. Another
you
thing,
do it. Yeah.
He doesn't know how to use utensils.
Oh, uh-huh. Go to a store and go pick out some kids' utensils with him, and he can pick out his own utensil.
You're right, yeah.
Or go to a camping store and have him get a spork, which is a spoon and a fork together, because they're really interesting looking.
Yeah. That's
have him
good.
Go
what
get a spork.
Again?
Spork, S-P-O-R-K.
Got it.
So it's a spoon and a fork together, and also it's a camping store. So it has it'll have fun little things, because there'll be plastic, and maybe
he
gets a little pan, and he eats out of a little pan, and he's a camper, and he gets a little hat, and he can be a camper in a kitchen. Make it fun.
That's a good idea.
Carl is smiling
absolutely.
Because that's what he wants to do.
I want to go camping right now with a spork. That sounds awesome.
Or always in sporting goods, we go camping, we go fishing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Camp in the house. Okay. Hat and all. Yeah. Dress him up with special stuff, and then he gets to eat like a camper in the house.
I love
Make it fun. You love it.
Good idea.
Yeah, Carl's going to do it when he goes home, right?
I am, yeah.
Those are wonderful suggestions. I knew that you could help me.
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening. Okay.
Thank you, Dr.
You have a great time.
Dr. Zorba, I appreciate it. You have a wonderful day.
You
Thank
too.
You.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413.
So I have a question. Number one, who named the spork? And number two, why did we say that storks bring babies into the house?
Oh, man.
Where did that come from?
Your mind is just rambling right now. You're thinking sporks,
and storks.
Yeah,
I mean, talk about, I don't see sporks. You don't see storks in Wisconsin, but you see sporks in Wisconsin.
Well, I think it's just a mashup of two words, right?
It's the rhyming police. I'm waiting for them.
Yeah, please chime in, rhyming police. Mm-hmm. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. 7-4-1-3. Let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hey there, Zerbo. I was curious about the detoxification that occurs. They have these pads that you can put on the bottom of your feet that it's supposed to draw out toxins from your body. I was wondering if that's just a snake oil ploy or if there's any validity to that. Thanks so much.
Well,
have you heard of these foot pads that detox?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, we could call it snake oil, or we could call it another word that begins with B. It's
actually two words. Public radio.
And it ends with, the second word ends with T.
Oh.
So we could do that, begins with B, and it's an animal.
I'm trying to put this
and
together.
And the second word, it begins with S and ends with T, and it has has a
bull scat. Right?
Bull scat.
Got
that's
it.
Right.
Okay.
Bull scat.
That's
actually, bull scat we can say. Bull scat.
There it
that's
is.
That's what it
yeah,
is.
Public bull scat. Radio.
That's it. Public radio. That's right. It's Carl's the way his mind works. So the answer is save your money. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't do squat. I can say squat.
They don't do anything.
Squat sounds like stork. No, it's very
squat's
different.
Fine.
Yeah, let's go on.
That was it. That was a quick answer.
I'm done.
They're
We're
just
finished.
Not real. Okay,
that's
nothing there.
Not
800.
Save your money.
462-74.
Save your money.
I see. I knew you were going to say 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Before the break, Zorba, I think it's time to give ourselves a little pat on the back. Following email came from a listener named Cindy who writes, "I'm so sad to hear that your program is being cut."
Right.
"I love your show and listen to it all the time. You've helped me so many times with so many issues.
Nice.
You helped me to understand so many medical procedures, medications, and health issues, not only for myself, but for my kids, my husband, my aging parents, and just in general. An example is I had terribly itchy skin. The dermatologist prescribed so many expensive creams that ended up in the garbage. The one morning I heard you talking about adding famotidine to my allergy medicine.
Right.
It was like a godsend.
Wow.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to you. Not to be itchy all the time. No one else, not my GP, not the dermatologist, and not my allergist ever told me to try this simple and inexpensive solution."
Right, an H2 blocker. Wow.
"Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your advice over the years, not just your program, but also your books and your yummy recipes. I hope you, Carl, and Tom find new wonderful adventures. I will truly miss your program."
How sweet. That is
that was
so
very nice, Cindy.
So nice.
Yes.
You know, it's very humbling. You know, very humbling. You know, I've been doing this for 35 years.
Yeah.
Long time.
Right.
35 years. I love doing it. And I started it to really be able to allow people to really have self-efficacy, the ability to actually make decisions and know that they could make decisions themselves, not just their physician. And the way to do that is with good information. And the way to get people with good information is to listen to something that's fun and vibrant. It's not just listy. You know, with lists, you generally go to sleep and about halfway through the list. And so we've been doing that. I've done it for years with Carl, years with Tom, and now I've done it with a couple with years with you, and you've been producing the show, and Brad's been the engineer in the show for many, many years, and we have helped lots of people. So that is a wonderful, wonderful email. So thank you. Thank you so much for sending it.
I love how you say we have helped people. It's really, Zorba, you have helped so many people.
Oh, no,
it's
a team.
Really,
it's a team effort. No, we're a team.
You're the expert.
We're
you're
team.
The doctor.
Team, yeah.
And has doctor helped you?
Yeah. Well, it's helped me as it's helped me as a person.
Yeah.
And as a physician. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, I think it's really helped me as a physician. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I have people that come up to me all the time, and it's very humbling, and say, "You helped me with this," and I don't know really what to say, but I always say thank you, and I always appreciate it.
And would you like to thank Dr. Zorba? How has he helped you? We'd love to hear from you guys. Just you can either post on our Facebook page. You could send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And, of course, through Facebook. And, really, if I've helped you through the years, send me an email. Send me some stuff. You know, the show is winding down. It's going to wind down after 35 years.
Yep.
Our last show will be in September, and I would love to hear from you guys. So, yes.
Yeah, let us
an
know.
Email, Zorba@WPR.org, or, of course, through Facebook.
There's much more of this episode of the show to come. We're going to have more calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails. So keep it right here on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Dr. Zorba's right there across the desk from me.
That's
me. He's looking
me.
Great in his Hawaiian shirt.
It's me.
We're doing this show. You're listening to the show, and we appreciate you listening still.
I need a ukulele. Do you play a ukulele?
Yeah, I have one. I've played. I'm not
really
great.
You gotta bring
one
in sometime.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, but I would be worse.
Maybe for our final show?
You might say you're not great and worse. Yeah, bring in your ukulele.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds
ukulele.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think I could play ukulele?
I'm going to get you to try.
I have no sense of rhythm.
Well,
God, do I have to bring my... Oh, I know. The accordion.
Yes, you know where I'm
oh,
going
my
here.
God.
Yes, please. Hey, you set yourself up for this. Bring in that accordion.
If you bring
Wheel
it upstairs,
it
it's so heavy, I'll bring it here.
We'll swap. You carry my ukulele and I'll carry your
I'll
accordion.
I'll strum the ukulele and you try the accordion.
That sounds
hey,
great.
You know what? Game on.
Well, there's a piano sitting right there.
Yeah,
there's
but
a
the
grand
piano
right
you,
next
you
to us.
Do you play piano?
Yeah, I do. I'm not very good, but I play it.
What do you play?
Just, you know, Chopin, like Liszt, just some easy stuff. Too many to list. All right, let's
get on
we
with
have,
the,
we have
let's
a show
get on with
still,
the study.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can call the show anytime, but let's do another healthy living topic. And I'm going to just read this headline, Zorba.
Yeah.
Over half of doctors surveyed would consider assisted dying if they had advanced cancer or Alzheimer's?
Well, there are a lot of issues here. So let's put Alzheimer's off the table for
okay.
a minute. And let's look at advanced cancer. You know, people with advanced cancer who have decided that they have cancer, they may not want to do chemotherapy, or chemotherapy may not help, and they have a prolonged death. Mm-hmm. And we all know, we can all imagine what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
So in 10 states plus the District of Columbia, There is death with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
California being the biggest state, which is 10% of the population, finally got a bill passed. And there's certain rules that govern it and whether or not you can actually get, you know, the cocktail that will put you to sleep so mm-hmm. you can die. Now, I have really strong beliefs about this. If you can go and buy a gun, which you can in every state in the union, and you can put that gun to your head, you can shoot yourself. If you can go to the hardware store and you can buy a rope and you can hang the rope in your house and hang yourself, if you can do those things, why can't you be able to buy something yourself and make your own decision and take it? You should be able to do it. Now, I had a good friend of mine and who I knew. I knew her brother. Her brother was a really smart guy. He developed something called Huntington's chorea. That's what Woody Guthrie died from. It's a terminal disease 100% of the time. And then you get angrier and angrier. It's part of what the disease does. It makes you agitated. And eventually, you become not the person who you are. You yell and you often scream and engage in, say, terrible things. And so he got his family together. This is a number of years ago. He was, you know, getting worse with Huntington's. And he said, I'm going to stop eating. It was hard to do for the first 2 days. It's very hard. And then he died 10 days later. Mm. And that is a way that you can actually assist yourself with suicide if you want to. You just stop eating. Mm. And after 2 days, people actually often lose their sense of taste and they don't want to eat anymore. But doctors, when they're surveyed, say they would allow pills, you know, to be prescribed under certain rules. What do you think about that?
Oh, boy. This is, I think I'm more interested in what you think because you're a doctor and this is a doctor survey.
Yeah, but
and this
what
is
if,
over
well,
half of them.
But what if you had terminal cancer? Put Alzheimer's off to the side for a minute.
Okay.
What if you had terminal cancer? What if your loved one, your relative, what if your mom or dad said, you know, I've got cancer, it's going to kill me. And I want to live last few years of my, you know, last period of my life. I'm not going to take chemo. And when I really get too sick and don't feel good, I want to take some pills. What would you say as a child?
As well,
would you support them or would you say no?
I would definitely support them, and I think that should be an option. I tried to punt on this, and I'm not going to punt on it. Yeah,
you
I
can't
think
punt.
It should be an option.
I'm sitting opposite. It should be an option.
Option.
That's right. It's a difficult option. Now, Alzheimer's is different. I believe that we should make this in every state that we can, but it should be for people who can make that decision themselves. Once people become demented, it's a different issue because I don't know where that is. That's a gray issue that's completely different because I don't know what the person is thinking inside their brain. So I don't want to put Alzheimer's in with this. I think advanced cancer, other advanced diseases are fine, but once you can't make the decision, it's the horse of a different color.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do a listener email now. The following question came from a listener named Jane, who writes, Dr. Zorba and Carl, thanks for all you do. I've been a big fan for many years. I drift off to sleep with your show every night. That's a compliment. Is that a compliment? Is that a compliment?
I'm trying to decide.
Your show puts me to sleep every night.
Yeah, that's right. No, but it is a compliment. No, you like listening to the show.
We'll take it.
That's right.
We'll take that. Jane continues.
We'll take all the compliments we can get.
We'd love
that. But I'm just thinking, what kind of a compliment? But that's similar to say.
It's comforting.
But similar when you say to somebody, you look good today. Does that mean you look bad yesterday? You know, I mean, it's a strange
You're overthinking it, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. So Jane continues.
I overthink a lot.
Jane says, I have Parkinson's disease. Most of my symptoms are clumsy movements, some slight tremors. What puzzles me is I have strong tremors after using my weed trimmer. I wear leather work gloves to buffer the vibrations, but the tremors last 2 days. I also have tremors when I'm shivering from the cold. Mm-hmm. What is in the makeup of the nervous system that causes this?
Well, there's something called benign essential tremor. It's not benign. It's not essential, and that's the name of it. Hmm. And we all have a normal tremor, so put your hand out. Do you have a tremor? Little tremor, look.
I think there's a tiny one.
There's a tiny one.
Yeah.
Now, if you drink a lot, that tiny one will actually change. You know, when people are actually drink and they hold it out, mm-hmm. the tremor increases with alcohol. The disinhibition that happens in the nervous system changes. So anyway, you have more of a tremor. But some people develop something called benign essential tremor, and it's a problem. And we have some medicines that only work a bit. Beta blockers, anti-seizure drugs, some of them work, but some people have great difficulty. I've got a friend who can't eat soup anymore because as she brings the soup spoon up, basically the tremor increases because it's a tremor with action that occurs. It's different than the Parkinsonian tremor, which occurs at rest. The essential tremor occurs with action. So she has to eat a little cup and hold it with both hands, but she has difficulty. Anyway, what causes it? We don't know. It happens. It's a neurological problem. There is no cure, but there are some drugs that might help.
Have a healthy living question for Zorba? Just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's hear a voicemail now. This one is from a listener in Platteville, Wisconsin.
Just calling to see if there's any truth to the rumor that apple cider vinegar gets rid of type 2 diabetes. Thanks.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be fabulous?
You just drink apple cider
vinegar. Now think
vinegar.
About it. You just drink some apple cider vinegar and we would get rid of all the diabetes in the country.
That'd be really great.
It'd be fabulous. What a great idea.
Yeah.
How could that be true? You know, but people put that out. Now, apple cider vinegar started with a guy many, many years ago. I'm blacking his name. And basically he wrote a book. It was from Vermont, a doctor, and he said, apple cider vinegar, you're cured of a good life or something like that. He was fine until he started selling the apple cider vinegar pills that he was manufacturing. Then the Fed said, you can't do that. You can't tell unless you actually prove it. But the answer is apple cider vinegar is used for a lot of things. It does not cure diabetes, but it does taste good on a salad.
There you go. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413.
And a lot of people say they like taking a tablespoonful in the morning, makes them feel better. By all means, continue it. No harm, no foul.
Perfect. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out, Zorba, we love getting voicemails from folks who want to share a comment or a health tip. So it's time again for caller comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate all the tips.
We do.
This isn't a voicemail. This is actually an email that we got. And this is a biking tip from Dara Lynn, who writes, you were talking about e-bikes on your show today.
Yeah, I love them. I love my e-bike.
I belong to a group, and Daryl Lynn's in Spokane, Washington. Mm-hmm. I belong to a group of recumbent trikers here in Spokane.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm 73, and most of our members are over 50, and they're up to 88 years old.
Wow.
Almost all of us have e-assist or pedal assist, 20 to 30 miles on an average ride.
Right.
No worries about falling as a two-wheel bike.
Right.
Local dealer has several brands, helps with fitting people to the trike, and does modifications for disabilities. Something for your listeners to consider. Get outdoors.
Absolutely. It's great. You know, the bikes and the trikes are great.
You love your e-bike.
I love my e-bike. I have a regular bike as an e-bike, but I've seen now the e-trikes, and I've decided if I get to a point where I can't do the e-bike, I'm going to do the e-trike.
Why not?
Because it gets out, gets you out there, you do more, and it, you know what it has? It has something that's important. It's fun.
That's right. It's fun.
And introducing fun during any time, but especially this time of lots of stuff going on in the world.
Sure.
Is very important to keep your brain intact. I like keeping the brain intact. And
that's
it's
a good
for
thing
health.
To, yes. Finally, this email is from a listener named Keith who writes, I've figured it out. 90% of my time, my tinnitus kicks in. It happens when I'm listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. It even happens sometimes when I think about the show. Part of the problem is thinking about it. But I won't stop listening. I love your show. And then he put a wink emoji in there.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny, Keith.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so we give the show gives him tinnitus.
No, no, I'm the cause of tinnitus. That's it. I'm the tinnitus cause. When I die, all the tinnitus in the whole world will be cured.
It'll all go away.
Yeah,
it'll just a quiet
place.
That's
right. I'm Dr. Tinnitus.
That sounds like a villain from a comic book or something. Dr. Tinnitus.
That's right.
Or is it Dr. Tinnitus? Who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah, that's it.
Who knows?
But they're both. That's the alter ego.
I see.
Moving on.
Do you have a tip
or
comment for the show? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Should we do this again next
week,
Zorba?
Absolutely.
Why not? If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime.
Anytime.
Visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org.
Or find us on Facebook.
That's right.
And don't forget, you can call anytime.
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 Anytime. I'm going to miss doing the anytime thing. Leave us your question at 800-462-7413, as if you haven't heard the number enough. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.